Jason Waller here, True Underdog Podcast and YouTube channel. Listen, make sure you subscribe today. You can go to iHeartRadio, Spotify, Apple Podcast. You can go to our YouTube channel, True Underdog, or you can visit trueunderdog.com and subscribe to all of it.
Damn, damn, damn. True Underdog. Damn, damn. Unleash damn. The power within.
Jason Waller here, True Underdog. Hey, we've got John LeBlanc. It's right before Halloween. It's Devil's Night. It's pre-election. It's Friday night before the Super Tuesday, where we're going to find out who the existing president is going to still be or a new president will be. Who do you got, John?
I pray for America. That's all I got.
That's it, baby. That's all we're doing. We're not gonna share who we voted for. And we both know that no matter who wins, the next morning everybody will be okay and America will start rebuilding. So we're good. So we've got some good tips, underbites out there. Stop overthinking. Start problem solving, baby. I love that. Where do you want to start, John?
Start with the overthinking part. You don't overthink anything.
It's not true, dude. In my personal life, like dude, at home, I overthink everything. I know. When it comes to work, I try not to. I try to make quick, decisive decisions because a lot of people don't know this. And my daughter does this now. But in my early 20s, like 19, I was on my own since I was 17, but call it from like 17 to like 23, I would call my dad almost every day. Hey, what do you think I should do about this? And hey, what do you think I should do about that? And, you know, what do I do about this is going on at work. And I used to do that a lot. And I remember my wife called me out like, dude, you understand, like you need to make the decision. And I'm like, oh, you're right. And so my daughter, my 22-year-old Hannah, she calls Liz for everything. Like, mom, what should I do this? What about this? She can't make a decision without her. It's very similar, right? Hers is a lot worse. They're closer in age and stuff, but still it's similar. So I learned, you know, at an early age where I was kind of challenged or mocked or, hey, you need to do something, you know, you need to make your own decisions. I need to start making my own decisions. But because of me asking those questions, it gave me the wherewithal and intelligence to start really making decisions because I wouldn't call him about the same issue or question, right? I'd call him about a different one. I had a different problem going on. And when you do that, when you're okay to ask somebody and get that knowledge, it helps you to stop overthinking. Because you gain the knowledge. You're going to overthink until you feel like you've mastered it. And there are things that you might not see that I have to overthink, like, what are we going to do about this brand, you know, branding thing? Or what are we going to do about what market we're going to do? I'll think, but when it comes to make a decision, because I feel like in business, I've made so many decisions with three companies over time that I feel like I have the experience to make something, a decision fast. And I don't want to be stuck in the mud. I don't want to be indecisive. I don't want to be the yo-yo. Yo, I'm going to do it. I'm not going to do it. Then make a decision and regret it because that's like the worst thing ever. When you make a decision, you got to own it. And there's no such thing as a wrong decision.
Yeah. Was there a time where when you were overthinking, right? Like they say paralysis analysis, right? Or analysis paralysis. So where you would sit on a problem for so long, it would just completely paralyze you, or were you able to always move off of something based off the conversations you've had?
So I don't like in business and when it comes to work, I don't like to sit in anything because I feel like I'm holding everybody up. Or I feel like when I have my own job, if I overthought something, I was slowing down. It's weird. I look at a work day or a job or a career as I have this many hours to make as many decisions as I can to move things forward, whether I'm a sales rep, whether I'm an installer, whether I work in a bank, whether I work in security, whether I'm a CEO, whatever it is, I have this many hours to make as many good decisions as I can. And not all of them be good. But the moment I look backwards, now it's a bad decision. The moment I make a decision and I think of what I should have done, it's a bad decision. The moment I've spent too much time thinking about something, I've missed those other opportunities to make an impact. So I look at that. Now, because I do that, I'm able to make decisions, mostly big million-dollar type decisions like this. Now, I've been known to be called, I'm ready, fire, aim, right? Like, whoa, bam, 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 shit, bam. Like, I'm ready, right? What are we doing? Bam, I ain't even aiming, right? I'm good. Shoot everything, pick up the bodies later, see what happened. I'm done. I don't give a shit. That's how I roll.
That is how you roll.
You know that. Sometimes that's bad. Most of the time, that's good because most people go, hold on. Well, I don't know if I want to do that. No, I can't do that. Like, nah, but bam, what are we doing? Pick it up. We get it? Yep. Done. Right? That approach has worked for me and my personality and my energy. Problem is, I'm the complete opposite at home. It's the weirdest thing. It is the weirdest thing.
I can't even
my
see it.
My therapist has told me, I always talk about my therapist, everybody needs one. She has said, it is crazy to me that you can make these multi-million dollar decisions within seconds and not think twice about it. But in your personal life, your family life, anything going on personally, you struggle with and go back and forth with. I don't know why that is. But I am like, I am lopsided, dude. I'm so much in business this way and so much personally this way. And I guess that's my balance. I don't know.
I mean, do you, even when you think about something, right, you have the solution, you make the decision. In business, at least I rarely see it. Like you selecting the solution, you rarely go back, even if you're like, oh, this way was right. No, we're already headed down this path. Like we're going.
And look, and I want people to, I want the listeners to know this. If I made a wrong decision and I have to change it, I am willing to change it. I do not want to make, but my problem is I have to know it's wrong. It has to like, oh, we did this. We can't, this product doesn't work. You need to make a quick decision to change it. My point is when you make a decision, should I hire this guy or shouldn't I? Should I fire this person or shouldn't I? Should we lower the price and do this? Whatever your decision is if you have enough material data there, you got to have facts and data. I don't want to just make a decision on intuition. I will. I've been known to, but I like to have as much data and facts there to compress fast and go, all right. What I don't want to do, and I used to do when I was younger, and I do it at home on a personal level. And because I do it at home on a personal level of like, I'll get mad, ground one of my kids, or, you know, they'll be in trouble or I'll spank them, or maybe I don't spank them now, but, or they take away their shit. Right. Then I'm like, damn, I feel bad. Maybe I was up too hard. Hey, I'm really sorry. I was rough on you. And then I would never do that at work. Right. If you didn't do your job and then you acted your ass out in front of your team and you check, I'm going to call you out and I'm not going to feel bad about it. And I ain't going to second guess it. It's just, hey, dude, like you got to do your job. You didn't do your job. Your job was to paint white lines on that damn floor. Motherfucker, they're yellow and it's not done. You didn't do your job, right? I'm not going to second guess my decision on something like that. But if I know it's the wrong decision, once I know, I'm not the type that's like, well, my way is always right. I'm not that person. I go, shit, I was wrong. We need to change it now. But I never look backwards for that answer. I never make a decision and then go, what should I have done? To where I create my own anxiety, my own doubt, and now my own, I've just sabotaged my whole decision. I never do that or try not to. That is the worst thing you can do in business is make a decision and then go start to doubt yourself. Because when you make a decision in life, all your confidence, all your intuition, all your brain muscles, all your intellect needs to be all in on that decision to give it a real shot. And then if all of that is that and it doesn't work out and it's like, holy shit, this is a wall, I can't get in, change fast. But don't look back in doubt, because when you look back in doubt, this one just got sabotaged. And now you're missing that one and you don't have that decision. And that's the biggest thing I think we do as human beings is we're always like, what if? Should I have? You know, those are the questions you ask yourself and you really can't. And I always say this to my kids, my wife, I try to say it to our leaders. There's no such thing, in my opinion, as a wrong decision. When we go to a stop sign, we either turn left or right. When we develop our map in life, we either go that way or that way. When we put our feet on the ground, we either walk outside or we don't go outside. There is no wrong decision, but make the best out of the decision without second guessing and overthinking going back to that decision, because that's where you can sabotage. And I, you know, I've been wrong many times and I go, damn, that's wrong. I'm wrong about that. I shouldn't have done that. Let's change it. And I'm okay with that, but it needs to surface itself. I can't sabotage it. I can't look backwards for it to come up. It's got to be proven wrong. And then I go, shit, I'm wrong. Now quickly make another decision and don't overthink it and go again. That's my take. And I've been pretty good at that. And I don't know if it's because of the skill sets of asking questions and so much failure and trying new things and figuring it out and having a really good intuition about people, or if it's because I'm the complete opposite at home. I wouldn't say I'm complete opposite, but it's like, it is night and day. I mean, I can go home and go, are we moving to North Carolina or are we staying in Michigan? I don't know. What do you want to do? I don't know. You tell me. Why don't you make a decision? I struggle because it's the wife and the kids. And you're like, what do I do here? Like, what moves do I need to make here that's not going to hurt everybody? And, you know, when you're in a family, you want to be the leader of your family, but you don't want to be a dictator in your family. And when you're in a business, you want to be the leader of a business. But in most cases, unfortunately, you also have to be a dictator in business to get everything to do that. Otherwise, everybody's got 25 ideas and nobody goes anywhere. So it's easier to do it in business to go, this is what we're doing because I love that pressure. If we fail, I want the employees to be mad at me. I can handle it. It's on me. But I can't do that at home because my kids and my wife, they're like me. They want to lead too. So it's like, hold on, time out. What are we doing? So it's different.
Understand. You know, we have, I think, the University of Michigan study, right? 73% of adults between 25 and 35 overthink. Now, you have an abundance of employees, probably around that age, right? Within your company. You find this tendency within, whether it's leaders, you know, frontline employees, whatever it might be, do you feel that? And maybe how do you encourage those folks to decide to stop dwelling on a problem and problem solve?
You're right, we have almost 1,600 employees and most are probably within that age. If you take the day that you have to work and you maximize those hours and you go, I can't be stuck in the mud, because when you're stopped and you're overthinking, you're getting nowhere. You're accomplishing zero. You're putting too much into it. Confidence is key. You need to be confident to make a decision and not second guess yourself. You need to be confident in your own efforts, your own experience, your own knowledge. If you don't know, ask the questions, get the data you need, make a decision. It is better in life that you make a wrong decision than not make a decision at all. Because if you don't make a decision, you'll never know and you lost both or multiple opportunities. But if you make a decision, wrong or right, which I believe there's no real wrong decisions, it doesn't matter. You at least made one and gave it a shot. And I think that people at work that overthink when they go to things, the advice would be, realize that you only got 8 hours, 10 hours in your day, 12 hours to get this done. Don't waste those minutes, that hour, the day, not processing. This is a quick. Life's a race. You got to get to the next plateau. You got to hit it and go. You can't be stuck. You can't, you know, be stuck in the mud or the quicksand. And that's what all of us try to do, and we get stuck there, and you can't do that. And if I did that all the time, we wouldn't be where we are, dude. I'd be thinking, man, what if we do this? I'm scared to do that. Like, you can't do that. Now, there are some people, it's just how they're built, dude. Some people are overthink and they're very methodical, which is okay. We need that. And they'll overthink stuff. And then some people are like, nope, they're cowboys. They shoot from the hip. I used to shoot from the hip a lot more. I've gotten a little bit more methodical, but I'm still ready to make a quick decision. In fact, I love the challenge to make a quick decision. I almost go, okay, so they want to do that? Shit, I want to see if I can get this answer by today. I don't want to think too much about it, because once I start to think about it, I feel like it opens up so many other doors of doubt and questioning. And if we keep everything simple and stupid and just, what is this? Got it. Make a decision, it's easier. The moment I start opening my brain to all of that, now I took a one door thing to, looks like an octopus with like 10 doors. You don't want that problem.
Yeah, and rightfully so. I mean, there's a stat right here in front of me. So those who overthink develop major depression. Anxiety can be a sidecar to that too, right? And that might be from your home life, right? You've talked about your anxiety, some of your depression before too, right? So like, doing that at home has led you to experience those types of things. And you said it yourself, right? When you're stuck on a problem, it creates this anxiety. And I hold this one thing above my head that a friend told me a while ago, right? It's replace anxiety with action. And as long as you're moving, like, you can put that stuff you can put that stuff behind you. Now, I have this question.
Hold on, before this question, one thing I heard from my CEO coach too is he's always like, "Hey, are you, you know, how are things going? What are you doing?" I'm like, "Oh, I'm trying to make it work. I'm trying to, you know, be better. I'm trying to do this." And he goes, "Dude, trying is failing, dude. You don't try anything, you do it." And it reminds me of overthinking and making decisions. Either you're doing it or you're not. The data is not changing. What the hell are you thinking about? Look at it, make your decision. It's not going to change. Make the damn decision and quit sitting there and quit doubting yourself and never look backwards at what you didn't decide, because the moment you do that, you lost on both. That's how I feel. Go ahead.
Understand. What about costly decisions? I know you said like $1 million
decisions. I've had some costly decisions, big time.
Doesn't that weigh on you a little bit? Like, if I would have only done this, like we would have saved
So that question you just asked, I never ask myself. I never go, man, if I would have only done that. You know what that's called? That's called not having great confidence. That's doubting yourself. That's insecurity. I'm not that guy. I'm not going to go, if I'd only done that. What if I would have done this? Man, I should have done that. I don't do that. I fucked up. I made the wrong decision. Let's move on. Oh, well, I hire someone. I overpay them. I bring them on. They're crushing it for a month and then 2 months and it turns out they're worthless and we wasted money and I, you know, I got egg on my face. All right, let's move on. That's my bad. Let's move on. The moment I sit in that shit, it starts to pull away from me. It starts to take everything I've built up with confidence and knowledge and endurance to build a business and be a motivator and an entrepreneur and everything I can do. It deteriorates that. It hurts it because I'm like, what if I would have done that? I never sit there and do that. I used to as a young man. I can't do that now because then I can't go forwards. I'm stuck in the quicksand asking, what if I would have done that? What if I'd have dated this girl? What if I wouldn't have bought that car? What if I would have applied for that job? What if I wouldn't have took, I mean, dude, you can do that all day. You can't what if all, and when you start going, what if you failed? You fucked up, you're wrong, you've already blown the chance of what that decision you made, you're done. You fucked up, you made a bad decision, you go, okay, I'm done with it. I got to make another decision right now to fix it and do something different. You can't go, what if, what if, what if. You can't. As long as you make the best decision with the knowledge you have at the time, you've done everything you can do. But you're hurting your credibility and you're hurting your wherewithal to make another decision by doubting the previous decision. Now you're less likely to make a better decision on the next thing. You're too scared and you're doubting. And it's like a snowball. So you fucked up and you're like, you got the small snowball and you're like, oh, what if I'd have done this? Damn. And then the next decision pops up and you're like, well, what do I do now? And that snowball is getting bigger. And it's like, well, what if I do this? And the snowball just gets bigger. Dude, you can't do anything now. Now you're fucking handcuffed. Now you're done.
Yeah, you feel like you're struggling. Yeah.
You're done.
You constantly feel that struggle.
You can't let a bad decision break you. We are entitled to bad decisions. We are entitled to bad days. It doesn't define you. It doesn't make you who you are. It doesn't set your life for that, for the entire, for the entire universe. You get to change every single day what you think, what you do, and you get more decisions to make. So, but when we sit in a decision and we stew in it, our confidence, everything's going down, we're done, dude. That's how I feel. I try to stay out of that shit.
It's a good point. Just keep moving, right? Like, you don't want to sit there. You don't want to bathe in anxiety and depression. Move on.
And the second part of this podcast, we're going to talk about start problem solving. That's the issue. You make a bad decision. How do I fix this decision? I'm not doubting myself. I'm not going, what if I would have done that one? Fuck that. I can't go backwards. Our eyes are in the front of our head for a reason, right? We look forward. We're not looking backwards. It doesn't matter what happened with that person or that girl or that business or that sales rep or anything. None of that shit matters. What matters is what I can control in front of me. I can't change the past. I can change the future. That's the problem solving. What do I do in this situation? I opened a business. I hired the wrong contractors. Shit. Not, what if I would have hired those other contractors? Wasting time, dude, and you don't have a lot of it. How about fire these contractors? Go, all right, problem solved. This fucker's fired. Let's find another contractor, right? That's what you do. Like, you got to make a decision. You can't sit in it.
When you make a decision or even problem solving a quote unquote bad decision? Is there a calmness to you so that, you know, there's typically, you want to be in the right frame of mind when you're making some of these decisions. Maybe not, I don't know. But like when you have a large decision to make, athletes get in the zone, right? There's like, there's a speed at which their brain operates. Like scientifically, they're in this zone, right? Like, is there a zone for you when you're making these decisions?
I would say, I don't know if I would call it a zone. I mean, it's a good analogy, but I would say that I'm in the moment. I'm not looking past the moment. You know, when I'm looking at the moment first, and then I try to look a few steps later of what that looks like. But if I focus too much on outside of what's going on, now I'm starting to overthink again. So a couple of bad decisions I've made along the way, even at Power Home Solar, is I've hired some bad sales managers. I've hired some that have done wrong things or stolen. You know, I hired bad project managers that were stealing behind me. I had a bad license holder when we first went in business, and he opened a company behind my back and was competing with me, with the project manager. Like, you make bad decisions. It's not like, I don't go, oh, what if I wouldn't have hired him and I hired the other guy? Every second I do that, I become weaker for the next decision, much weaker, and I can't make the right decision. And I'm doubting myself, so my confidence is lower. And I'm wasting time problem solving when I could go, this guy screwed me over. I was wrong. It's time to fire him and find a replacement now. And then I try never to second guess that. If that's what my gut says, if you go with your gut, most of the time it's the right decision. Weigh out the data and then go with your gut and your intuition. That's the best thing you can do. And as long as you try to make the right decision, you're fine. But I get in that zone of, all right, I'm in this moment. What's this going to impact right now? And how's this going to impact tomorrow? And how's it going to impact the next 6 months? That's what I usually ask myself on a business decision. I don't look past 6 months. If I look past 6 months, that's too far. I look at, how does this affect us today? How does this affect us tomorrow? How does this affect us in 6 months? And the first question I ask before any of that, how does this affect our brand? It's not about me. It's not about you. It's not about that person. It's about the brand, Power Home. You're running a company. You're building a business. You're a sales manager. Whatever your position is in life, you have to protect the brand that you work for, the team that you play for, the school that you go to school for. Whatever it is, you've got to protect that. You've got to think, what's best for the brand first? Then all the employees or the entire team, then that individual, yourself is last. But that person's next to last. And I think too many times, I just had this conversation with Ben today, too many times people care too much about the other person the things are happening to, and it can hurt the brand, it can hurt the team, it could hurt the school, it could hurt the culture, it could do too many, because they feel guilty. And you have to take the personal out of it when you're making a business decision. You have to. You have to go brand first, team or school, that person, then yourself. Because that person's usually only thinking of themselves if there's a problem you got to make a decision on. You can't, if you're the manager, if you're the owner, if you're the teacher, if you're the coach, you can't think of the one person. Everything's bigger than us. And as long as we think like that, it's easier for me to make a decision. There were times that I took things personally and I'm like, shit, why would they do this? What do I do? Ugh, I did all that, you know? And then I got to a point where like, I can't be personal anymore. I can love everybody that wants to be in our company. I can support, want to do the best for them I can and what work my ass off to make sure I get us all to the promised land as long as they're all in. But the moment that they're not all in, I mean, look, we can high five and rub elbows, dude, but you're not in my family. You're not on our team, dude. You're not Power Home. I don't know what to tell you. Like, high five and bounce. Like, we got shit to do. So that's how I feel. I'm able to separate the two. Like, this is it. And I think of brand first. You know how many times we've had to fire a top sales rep for the brand? A lot. Now, back in my earlier days in security, I'd be like, okay, John, I know you're a top rep. You know, we had a podcast called Don't Be Held Hostage. That's similar to making us stop overthinking. You know, when you're held hostage because someone who's the best sales rep on your company or in your sales team or the best player on your basketball team or your baseball team or your football, whatever it is, and they're holding you hostage or they're making you overthink a decision to make on them, that's kind of tough. So you can't do that. You got to think of the overall thing. And in business, that's what I do. I try to think of the overall brand, how it impacts the brand today, tomorrow, 6 months, the players in that, the employees in that brand, same timeline, that person, and then me. And then I go through my, and I try quickly to make a decision. And usually, and if I doubt anything, dude, you got to surround yourself with smart people. If I am really on the fence, and that doesn't happen a lot, but it happens sometimes, I'm like, I don't know what to do. Like, this is a tough one. I'll call my peers, dude. I'll call Steve. I'll call Ben. I'll call Kevin, Juan. We'll figure it out. We'll talk about it. I'll be like, what do we think? And I'll get their opinions and want to hear their opinions and go, you know what? I didn't look at it that way. It's a great idea. Maybe that's what we do. If you can't make the decision, get people smart enough around you to help you make that decision. But damn it, make a decision. Don't overthink it. Quit it. It's not healthy. You only hurt.
It's really not.
It's really not. Yeah.
No, I agree.
And in personal, you know, you can get away with it more because, you know, it's personal. You're thinking of your family, not your entire company. When you think of your entire company, it's pretty simple. Well, is this person making the company money? Do they have the company's best interest? No and no. Okay, bye. But for your family, you can't go, is this person helping our family out in their best interest? You can't tell your kid or your wife, bye. Like, it doesn't work that way.
Yeah.
So it is a little different at home.
It is a little different. Yeah. And maybe that's where that, you know, indecisiveness.
Well, I'm so used to making a decision and I can't make it full. Like, it's like, whoa, hold on. So it is different. It is different.
Yeah. You know, when you are working through this, and I've, you know, just sometimes being in a room with you or on a call, it's odd, right? You can become like aggravated or angry, right? Like probably many CEOs, but there's always like this side complement of positivity that is accompanied. It's weird, right? Because you think angry or aggravated, like he's negative, but it's not. Like the solution and the outlook and the direction is always positive. So how does that typically work? Like, how do you coincide this aggravation with this positive outlook with whatever you're doing?
So when I was growing up, and it's no secret, I mean, look, I love my parents. They're the best parents in the world. They taught me a lot of great things and I wouldn't change it. But dude, it was a little rough at home. Right? My parents were, they didn't know any better. You know, every generation wants to do better. They were a little abusive. And I will say that I used to get scared. My mom would say, I'm calling your dad. And my dad worked till 11:30 at night. And so it'd be like 9 o'clock. And I'd be like, don't call dad. And then she'd call him on the phone. And he'd get on the phone. When I get home, I'm going to beat your ass. So I would go in the bedroom. And I would lay there and not fall asleep and have anxiety and be like, I'm getting my ass whipped. And half the time he wouldn't come in and I'd be like, oh, this is great. And the other half the time he would come in. And half the time he would come in, he'd beat my ass. And then he would feel bad. And he would ask me, hey, why don't you come out here? I ordered pizza. Let's watch Miami Vice. True story.
Just like that.
Positive. The other half, he would be like, why did you do that? And he'd yell at me. We'd talk and no, I wouldn't get spanked, right? Or ass beat. When you are taught that at a young kid, that discipline or disciplinary action or frustration then turns into, hey, I don't want to just do this. I want to make a positive at this because I don't want to leave on bad terms. It was like that throughout my whole life. You're grounded. Hey, you want to come in here and hang out though? Like, I even parent like that, very similar. I don't beat the shit out of my kids, but if they're in trouble or I'm pissed or I yell at them, then I even feel guilty. I try to go do it, hey, but look, let's still do this. You know, I try to be positive. Whoever we are individually, personally, comes into the business place sometimes. So if I'm upset with you, John, on a sales meeting or a meeting period, a director's meeting, and you didn't do your job, I'm very passionate. I'm very real. I don't sugarcoat it. I didn't go to college. I didn't finish normal high school. I can't articulate it. I'm not going to methodically go, oh God, John, I don't know what we're going to do. Like, I'm not that fucking guy. We're like, dude, you didn't do your fucking job. Why? Dude, what happened? I want to know, like, we're real, like we're family members, like whatever. Like, I want it to be authentic. And that's just how I roll. I don't want to sugarcoat it and let me send you an email and you answer this bullshit. I got you on the phone. What happened? What the fuck, dude? Like, why isn't it done? Like, what happened? I want you to feel my frustration. But on the other token, I'm like, all right, well, look, we got to do this to get better, dude. You understand that if you do this, it leads to this and this, and their department wins. You got that, right? Like, this is why we want to get there. So I try to, I might get frustrated, but then I try to reassure that the outlook of where I'm trying to get you is positive, that I want to end. So it's like, spank, spank. Okay, hug, let's go. And that's kind of how I'm built. So it's never like I'm pissed and then I'm hanging up and I'm done. It's, look, I'm pissed about something, but I want you to understand what I'm seeing, why we got to do something better to get to the next level, the next spot, and why it's positive. And now let's hug it out, now that I yelled at you a little bit, to get there, because now you understand what I was saying. That's kind of why I think that's happened with me.
Yeah, look, and I think we've gone over this example before. Like, that happens all the time in sports. Coaches, players on players, peers on peers. So, like, why is it not okay for it to take place in a highly emotional business conversation?
I think it is. I mean, some people might not like it, but look, but we're real.
I'm just saying, the outside world, like, there's a lot of people that think that's not okay, right? That you have to be this corporately polished person and you can't get sideways. But it can happen.
Look,
and it's on the other person.
If our company was worth a few $1 billion, we were publicly traded, and I'm probably not the guy to run it, right? I'm a grower. I'm an entrepreneur. I'm about us walking and running and jogging and carrying backpacks up the mountain. I'm not about us on the mountain walking flat. That's not what I do, right? So that would be a different ballgame. And you're right. And that's where, I mean, sure, I could probably maybe groom to be somewhat that guy, but that's not what I do. You know, I want to take ingredients and build something massively that is great. I don't want to have something great and then just, that's it. Because if I'm still building, I want it to continue to get greater. I can't just settle. And I always say this, if we were UPS or the post office, we're good with this. We're good with this. Hey, Ford, we're good with this, right? We're Power Home. We want to do this. We want to go up. We're a rocket ship. We want to grow, 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 grow. Amazon wanted to grow, 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 grow. That's why we have our 80-20 rule, right? We got to replace 20% of our staff every month. That's why we have these meetings, and we're personal about it. We're passionate about it, so people can feel and interact. I want them to think. They got to think on their own and be themselves, but I want them to understand what I'm thinking. And it's not about impressing me. It's about helping our brand. And I want them to be proactive and treat it like they own it, because one day they're going to have ownership and stock options of this. I want it to be important and value to people. You know. And so for them to do that, I've got to keep it real. I can't be like, well, it's great that we've done these numbers and we're solid and we're going to float through the fourth quarter, guys. That's just not who we are. And that's not the culture that we've developed. And sure, we could get big enough and go public and do things. And that, absolutely. But we're still going to be like this. So even the stock market, you know, the people over there in the stock market, you know, in that world are going to be like, dude, what the hell's up with that company, man? They got 20% turnover every month, man. They're growing numbers. Their CEO's F-bombing people. What the fuck is going on? Right? That's why. Cause that's, yeah. You got to keep it real, dude. I'm never going to
like the Bobby Knight, like the Bobby Knight of basketball, right? Yeah. The guy that threw the chairs on the sidelines.
Yeah.
Like, there's a degree where you just probably shouldn't do it anymore.
I haven't got that far. I haven't beat anybody up or smacked anybody or anything like that.
Not yet.
But, I try to keep my distance. We do a lot of Zoom calls, so everybody's safe. No, but look, I'm honest and I'm real. And I treat everybody the same. It doesn't matter who you are. My old man works for us. He's a dude, I'm tough on him. I chastise his ass. Joe's one of my best friends, really tough on him. Kevin's my partner and best friend. I am cat's ass on him. Like, dude, what are you doing? I have my job, John, and I think all leaders' job is to elevate people. And look, the reason I surround myself with other people in different aspects is Ben's a good attaboy, pat on the butt, right? Kevin's a good, hey, I love you guys, and I'm smiling. Steve's a good, we're going to follow this. Juan's a good, it costs this. I'm a good, let's fucking go, right? Every leader's different. My leadership skills are this. If we're going to war, John, and we land on the island, I'm burning all our ships so we stay on the island till the job's done. Then we'll build new ships. Nobody's leaving. But everybody's different.
Yeah. I guess one final question. So you brought up the point at which, you know, for a multi-million or multi-billion dollar company, right? You're doing something else to have these ingredients and grow, and you're not going to stick around with a company that's just okay, continuing to be great, right? If we got bought out today for billions and millions and billions of dollars, right? What are you getting into next?
I'm staying at Power Home. It's my choice, dude. I ain't going nowhere right now. I don't have to sell. I said, no.
No, I know. But like, we would be kind of here right at that point, right?
I would have to select those partners. So the process would be this. If someone came in to buy the company and wanted to either take us public or take, you know, majority ownership, I would have to feel so comfortable with them and have an employment agreement with them and have shares in the company that they're keeping me around for a hot minute to continue to be the face and do what I'm doing. If that wasn't going to work, then I wouldn't even bring them on. Now, let's talk 7 to 10 years from now. We could talk that because now would be like, no way. But let's say 7 to 10 years from now, we're to a point, 5,000 employees, we're doing $1.5 billion in sales. We're ready to go public. This is just a thought, right? Someone comes in, buys us, and we're going to go public. At that time, might be that it's okay to do this. All the employees have cashed out their part. We've made a lucrative change for all the employees. They've had life-changing events. We've done all the things we've done. We've fulfilled our goals. What am I getting into then? Don't know. I love the podcast stuff. I love motivational speaking. I've got a book that I'm writing, or I'm having a ghostwriter write for me by June. So I'd love to do that kind of stuff, training seminars and help, but I'm not ready to go anywhere for a hot minute. This is my, you know, when you build a business, it becomes your child. I love it as much as I love my children. Like it's my child. So I want to make sure I am there as long as I can be for that child. I can't just abandon ship. I'll never just be like, peace. Like I'm not that guy. It's just not who I am. I don't have to be that guy. I don't give a shit. Money doesn't drive me. Accomplishing big set goals, changing the world, that drives me. Money's just money. And I think that's where people get stuck. They like, oh, get all the money, I'm done. Not me. What the hell am I going to do? I'd be depressed.
Yeah, probably. Right. That's why you make heavy decisions real quick.
And I don't want to start over, but I don't ever want us to settle. Once we allow ourselves to feel like we're at the top of the mountain, we're done. We're done. As long as I'm here, we're never going to do that. We can't. That's when you're done. It's my opinion. Some people just want to hang out and they're okay with it. You know, I don't roll that way. We're like, oh, guys, hey, we had another great month. It's the same. High five. Every year we're doing this. High five. No, dude. So it came up today. It came up today on a call. Our team, so this is a challenge out there that we're going to have to accomplish. Every year in existence, we've gone a little bit down in November and December. So two of our leaders, Ben and Kevin, we were on a director's call the other, or our executive call the other day. They're like, yeah, well, you know, we're going to forecast this and this because, you know, naturally this is a seasonal business.
Oh, yeah.
I said, I don't understand. Like, that's not what we're supposed to do. I mean, I know why last year and year before we had some problems in the winter, but we didn't. I'm confused. Well, there's only 23 selling days in November and there's 27 in October. Okay. Well, we got to do more in November and October. Well, I don't know if that's possible. Well, I've got a solution. Ben, you hire more reps. Kevin, you spend more in marketing. Juan and Steve are like, what? And I said, yeah. Look, we've got to do more every single month. Like, now's the time we're breaking that habit. We're going to sell more this month. How? We're going to get more leads. We're going to have more sales reps. That's how. Well, what if cost? It won't cost. Kevin, is the cost the same whether we do 900 deals or 1,000 per deal? Yep. Okay, well, then we need to do 1,100. What are we doing? How do we get there? What do we got to do? So that's how we, okay. So I had to tell, like, you know, Travis, our minority partner, I said, look, I'm just going to let you know. I know they talked about on that call that we were going to sit stagnant in November, December. Bullshit. We're going to each month. I put the pressure on them to hire more people and get more leads. I don't care if there's 14 days, then overcompensate. There's no excuses. We're not trying to be great. We're being great. We're not going to overthink it. We're problem solving. Hire people, get deal marketing, come together and make deals. That's the deal. So we'll be fine.
Just like that. It reminds me of the 4-minute mile. Remember when the 4-minute mile couldn't be broken for so long until someone just finally broke it. Then everyone started doing it.
Great. Right? Like, that's right.
You see this trend and then you just kind of like follow it. Or you were just like, no, not happening.
Not us. I'm done. Like, we're not shit the same. Nope. And now they were all good with it. And I'm calling all of them out. They're like, it's fine. November and December will be a little bit less than October. It's fine. No, it's not fine.
And look, these are high performing people too. These are executives on our leadership team that are just kind of going
they
with
were comfortable like, with saying, well, this is the normal trend. So as long as we're okay with this, and I'm not okay with that. How do we do better? Well, we need more reps. Good. Hire more reps. Kevin, well, can I have a bigger budget? Hell yeah, you can have a bigger budget. I'm not going backwards. I'm not a loser. The company's not a loser. We're not going backwards. I don't give a shit if it's Thanksgiving or Christmas. It's got to do with anything. We still got to do what we got to do. And that, so they got the marching orders. We'll see what happens. I think we'll be okay. I have faith.
And we crushed it in October, didn't we? Didn't we? We had a great October.
We had a great October, but we have to have a better November and then a better December. We cannot go backwards. And history has shown we've gone backwards every year. That said, well, history's changing this year.
Perfect. Love it.
All right. Thank you, John. That's a wrap on True Underdog. Check us out on all our Spotify, iHeart, Apple, Google, and CastBox and YouTube. Bam!
And that concludes another episode here on True Underdog. If you're interested in hearing more, make sure you subscribe at iHeartRadio, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or the YouTube channel. You can always visit trueunderdog.com, subscribe to all of them. Make sure you check out our newest episodes coming out on Mondays and Thursdays. True Underdog, baby. Bam!
Underdog. Damn. Unleash.